finally we turn to the road, where we encounter some form of merging just about every day.
Motorists here are bound together by certain practical rules and courtesies necessary for mutual protection. And any individual who does not or will not recognize this is a menace to everyone.
However, that clip was from a Disney educational driving film from the mid-60s called Freeway Phobia, or The Art of Driving the Superhighway. Breaking the laws of the road is something that most drivers do occasionally, but would agree is wrong. But merging is one aspect of driving that divides motorists into two distinct camps. To merge early or not to merge early? That is the question. We decided to consult someone who wrote a book on traffic to find out why the art of the merge is so heavy with meaning, judgment, and guilt. Tom Vanderbilt writes about design, technology, science, and culture, and his most recent book is called Traffic: Why We Drive the Way We Do and What It Says About Us. Tom, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Okay, you're coming to a left lane and you see a big arrow that it's closing. As soon as you see the blinking arrow, you move right. That makes you an early merger. Do I have that right?
Yes.
Okay, so what's a late merger?
Well, the late merger is those people who, you know, when there's one lane of traffic that's going to be closing, and those are the people that go all the way to that point where it literally is vanishing, and then they merge over at the last minute. And this whole idea prompted me actually to write my book Traffic, because I was one of those people that as soon as I saw that sign, I always got over as soon as I could. But one day I was coming to the same spot in some highway construction, and I found myself frustrated by all those late mergers going ahead of me and saving a few minutes. So one day I became a late merger, and I felt, you know, so weird about it that I ended up kind of writing this whole book to explore why I had felt the way I did and why I behaved the way I did.
Well, I'm admitting to being a late merger, and I always feel slightly guilty when I'm doing it, and somewhat like I'm pretending that I didn't know what was happening.
Yeah, I mean, it really speaks to, I think it speaks to people's sense of, you know, sort of social justice, not to sound too grandiose, but, you know, that they take from the regular world. Like, I mean, they think of it as someone, you know, sort of cutting in front of you, and part of the problem is the information given is often very vague. It will say something like, you know, merge right 1 mile. So you have, you know, this theoretical point, you know, do I do it now? Do I wait all the way to that closure? Do I do it somewhere in between? And I think what merging really is a form of, you know, sort of coordination problem. We haven't worked out ahead of time what each person is going to do or how we're going to do it. So we're all bringing our own strategies and beliefs to this. And it's not just at those construction work zones. I mean, even just a simple highway on-ramp merge is a problem for people because, you know, they're going at different speeds. People are sort of vague. Do I give the right-of-way to the person who's already on the highway? Am I supposed to let the person coming from the ramp in? And, you know, we haven't often worked those out ahead of time, and there's kind of a different context. And it can make us tense because we're driving at high speeds.
So when it comes to moving traffic along, which is better, an early merger or a late merger?
Some people took the late merging message a little too much to heart and, you know, started advocating it for things like jumping ahead of a queue of traffic and trying to get off at an exit, for example, when there's still an ongoing traveling. That's not what I was talking about. It was this very specific situation where you had the two lanes going down to one, and I had come across some research on different systems they had done called, for example, the late dynamic merge, which they found that in one of these construction work zone situations, when there was heavy traffic, if everyone waited, occupied both lanes, waited till they got to the point where it was going to close, then did a one-on-one zipper merge, as it's called, they actually were able to move more traffic through the bottleneck than if, you know, they let people do it anywhere along the line.
Mm-hmm. But so, that, you know, that's sort of predicated on the idea that everybody's on board and understands, okay, you go, then I go, then you go, then I go.
Exactly, and you needed this coordination that I was mentioning, and so you have to have signage that really spells this out. And to complicate things, you know, it really works best when it's full congestion, when there aren't, for example, a lot of trucks. So the engineers would know when to activate the sign that would say, you know, go all the way to the merge point. Otherwise, you know, do things differently. You know, so again, you really need to spell out for people exactly how to behave. And even then, I'm sad to report, people fall back on other sorts of information. I mean, they tried this late merge situation in the state of Minnesota, and they found it wasn't working as well as they had hoped because people were sticking to their old kind of, let's be frank, you know, sort of Minnesota polite, Minnesota nice, they call it, notions of what the right thing to do was. And to them, it felt rude to not sort of get over as soon as they can. So the argument was they were sort of making an early one-lane artificial traffic jam sooner than they needed to, and that sort of messed things up. So, you know, the lesson here is, you know, you need to spell it out as clearly as possible, and then maybe over time the habit will develop, but people can still bring their own, you know, kind of internal vision of what the right thing to do is, and that can screw up kind of the coordination problem.
And it could, I guess it could be good for traffic, but not so good for goodwill.
Exactly, and you know, this is the debates over this are huge, and the very first time I did it, I really felt guilty myself. I mean, more than the actual act, I sort of felt a stronger emotion. It wasn't really that big of a deal in the scheme of things, but I really felt like I had done something very wrong, and I had to kind of, you know, seek consolation in friends and ask, have you ever done anything like that? You know, I skipped a few cars. It wasn't, you know, sort of like stealing something or except you know, other people's time, perhaps.
How about in the era of self-driving cars, which we are told is imminent, what will they choose for this kind of situation?
Well, theoretically, this is a great thing where, you know, you really could work out these coordination problems ahead of time with the right software, and maybe you'd need some software upgrades, you know, as long as every car had kind of the same algorithm powering it, where it would have a rule that would sort of know what to do in the situation and would take advantage of the exact space and wouldn't get angry if it saw another vehicle nudging its way ahead on the side. It would just sort of treat that as another vehicle. I mean, you can also imagine that different companies might be on the market which would have different algorithms, and maybe those would be incompatible. So that, again, that coordination problem, this really could continue into that self-driving era. But, I mean, the one thing that they would take away would be the kind of human element of justice and wanting revenge, and I'm going to teach that person a lesson for cutting in front of me. I mean, that by itself, I think, would help matters a bit.
So let me guess. The Prius will be the early merger, and the Lexus will be the late merger.
Yeah, or people always say BMW.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say that, but I thought I'd
be the poster child of late merging right there.
So given what you just said, is getting people to merge in a way that benefits everyone, if we're assuming this zipper merge works, is this a urban planning issue and traffic pattern issue or a personality issue?
I mean, a little bit of both. I mean, you can have, you know, sort of better planning about this, you know, better systems set up, give people better information. So if they have the information, then and they're being encouraged to do a certain behavior, it takes away the idea that the other people are cheating. It sort of lays out what you're supposed to do. Because, again, in the absence of that information, people are confused and they rely on their own notions of what the right behavior is. So that's where it becomes the personal. So I think if you can, you know, take away the potential for that anger, it could, you know, make things more smoothly. But, again, just physically, it's sort of a hard activity. And whenever you see traffic on the highway, you know, merging, you know, lanes coming from another highway or an oncoming stream of traffic down an on-ramp, for example, this is often where traffic, kind of everyday congestion, is coming from. It's a hard thing to physically do, to merge two vehicles into one lane at, you know, say 65 miles an hour. People are, you know, having to judge the acceptable gaps and kind of look around and look in their blind spots, and they get nervous and they brake too hard. And, you know, it's kind of a complicated bit of daily driving that I think probably ranks pretty high on people's, you know, most stressful activities.
Tom Vanderbilt writes about design, technology, science, and culture, and his most recent book is called Traffic: Why We Drive the Way We Do and What It Says About Us. You'll find a link to read an excerpt from the book that's at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.
Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more, no more, no more.